Hello and welcome to the August edition of the PigX podcast. As always, I'm your host, Delaney Howell. This month, we'll be diving into part two of our two-part mini-series, with this month's topic focused on exploring calcium and phosphorus requirements for gestating and lactating sows. We would encourage you to go back and revisit the first episode in this mini-series if you haven't already listened. Before we move into this topic further, let's take a quick minute to recap our guests from Kansas State University, Dr. Jordan Gebhardt and PhD student Larissa Becker.
My name is Jordan Gebhardt. I'm an assistant professor here at Kansas State University. Grew up in a small town in West Michigan on a small family farm and feed mill. Came out to Kansas State for my veterinary training, as well as a PhD with our applied swine nutrition group. I've been very fortunate to be able to be on faculty after completing training and have been here assistant professor in the College of Veterinary Medicine at K-State for coming up on 4 years.
Hi, I'm Larissa Becker. Thank you for the invite for this podcast. I'm finishing up my PhD program here at Kansas State University studying swine nutrition. I grew up on my family's swine farm in Fairmont, Minnesota, and so I was fortunate enough to be exposed to the swine industry from a very young age. And from there, it just grew into this very strong passion for nutrition. And so I look forward to wrapping up my PhD program and entering the swine industry as a production nutritionist.
Last month, we discussed some co-research done by a previous PhD student at Kansas State University, Bo Williams, in partnership with Jordan's research. This research peered into unseen areas of bone mineralization in nursery, growing, and finishing pigs. Transitioning to today's discussion, we want to spend time focusing on Larissa's literature review into this very topic. Larissa, how did that research conducted by Bo Williams and Dr. Gebhardt lead you down the path to conduct a literature review?
So Bo's research showed us that we don't really understand a lot about minerals in swine nutrition. And so then I took it down the sow route and did a literature review to summarize all of the requirements for calcium and phosphorus in gestation and lactation. This all came about is because sow livability is a big concern in the swine industry right now. And two major contributing factors are because of prolapses and lameness. And both of those factors actually have a tie to calcium and phosphorus metabolism and utilization. So I dug into the literature, found research dating all the way back to 1974, and looked at how these researchers defined the requirements for calcium and phosphorus in sows. And so there's two different methods of either factorial or empirical. So a factorial model uses a mathematical equation based on different uses of that mineral for functions and then adding all of those different pools together. So in gestating sows, this consists of different pools for the sow, such as her maintenance requirements, her requirements for fetal growth, placental growth, and then her maternal growth. And so that's really important for younger parity sows. And so with these factorial models, there's different mathematical equations for each of those pools. And then you sum all of that up to determine what her calcium and phosphorus requirement is. And then another strategy is to do an empirical study where different researchers fed different levels to the sows and then measured either sow and litter performance or bone mineralization or strength. And what we found is that there is some research done in this area, especially in the empirical and factorial. But with the empirical, a lot of those researchers just had two different treatments. And so they only had two levels to compare. And with only comparing two levels, it's really hard to understand what her actual requirement is. It's better to have a more robust study with 4 to 5 different treatments. But just with logistics and sows, it's difficult to do robust research in that area. And so then the other option of those factorial models is a good option to use and understands the different areas and pools that she needs those minerals for. And so through all of that efforts, we found that there's not a lot of data. And what it all comes down to is these really wide ranges in phosphorus and especially calcium requirements. And so when those older research projects were done, just comparing one or two levels, some of those research shows lower phosphorus requirements. And then there's not a lot of good research and good ideas for coming up with the calcium requirement. And so often it's just set as a ratio. But even those ratios, there's a lot of variability and not a certain ratio that is standard across swine production. And so by putting together the factorial and the empirical research, I kind of boiled it down. And through all of that research, and especially the most recent data done by Dr. Crenshaw and one of his students at the University of Wisconsin in Madison, the recommendation that we came up using all of this research is 6 to 9 grams of phosphorus for gestating sows, and then around 19 to 22 grams per day of digestible phosphorus in lactation in order for those sows to meet their requirements for all of their different pools and hopefully improve sow livability. But then for setting the calcium requirement, it's really difficult to know what to set that. And it really just shows us that there's definitely a need for more research in this area to understand and know how to feed these sows to remain in the herd longer.
So Larissa, as you were going back through all of the literature that exists today, looking specifically at calcium and phosphorus requirements, tell me about the number of literature pieces that you had to review. Was it robust? Was it lacking? And what did you find as you were reviewing those pieces?
There were about 7 factorial models for gestating sows and 7 for lactating sows. And then the empirical studies, there was about 5 to 9 for each gestation and lactation. And so there is research efforts in those areas, which is good, but there is still definitely room for improvement and having more robust treatment structures with comparing several different levels.
Larissa or Jordan, feel free to weigh in on this question. But again, I'm curious to know why there is maybe so little literature that exists about this topic. And I know you guys are hoping to correct and change that, but why do you think that is?
I think a big part of it is just sow research is difficult to do. It's difficult to get a large amount of sows to do research on. And just in this area, learning from Bo too, the best measurement that we have is bone mineralization, but it's really difficult to collect bones from sows and have to euthanize those animals for research purposes. And so like Dr. Crenshaw went down a different route and tried to look at phosphorus excretion in urine and try and tie that to her bone mineralization and what is needed for her. And so I think with both of those, just limited sow research and logistics for collecting bones is maybe what's causing this limitation in sow research.
I think that illustrates and highlights some of the key challenges associated with the research really, really well. And to reemphasize that in this area of calcium and phosphorus metabolism, the primary purpose that's used in the body is for the skeletal system, with most of that being in the bone. There is quite a bit of phosphorus in, say, skeletal muscle as an example. But really, when it comes to phosphorus and calcium nutrition, the bone is a really, really important measurement, which digging into some of the research where we learned through the diagnostic survey, nursery and finishing pigs, measuring bone mineralization is really, really important. Now, when we think about bone mineralization in the context of a sow, sows, generally, the goal would be to have her multiple parities, whereas in a nursery or growing and finishing pig, we're generally more concerned about bone mineralization at one point in time within their production cycle. Whereas for a sow, we need to consider her development through that gilt development phase, through her first gestation, and then all the subsequent gestations and lactations thereafter. How we influence that gilt in the time, even prior to her first breeding, certainly would have an influence long-term on her lifetime impact as it relates to bone mineralization. But that's a really, really hard question to really get a good answer for. When bone mineralization, the best way to do that today is to euthanize that animal, collect that bone, and then do the analysis from there. So that's one of the challenges. It's hard to follow over time over the course of multiple parities, what's the long-term impact of some of these different nutritional strategies related to phosphorus and calcium? If we feed a sow below her requirement for either of these minerals, say in lactation, where in lactation, one of the primary pools that that sow needs these minerals for is for milk production. If we don't provide her enough phosphorus for her milk production, she will mobilize some phosphorus from her bones to meet the needs for that milk production. What happens in that next gestation? Does then she have enough time, if she's fed enough phosphorus, to then put that bone mineralization back into the bones and replenish that phosphorus that had been depleted or not? Or are there any long-term impacts of that? That's really one of the next questions that Larissa's work highlights really well. We don't have a great understanding of the implications of phosphorus and calcium metabolism in sows over multiple parities. And I think one of the big challenges with that is not having a great antemortem diagnostic test, which brings us to the really innovative aspect of the urine evaluation from Dr. Crenshaw and their group up at Wisconsin. Urine is a very non-invasive way to collect a sample. And if that gives us a good assessment of what's going on with related to her calcium and phosphorus metabolism, that would be a terrific way to evaluate long-term over multiple parities what's going on within that sow. So we've learned a lot in that area over the last several years, but I still think there are several questions that remain to be answered, and hopefully we'll be able to use that technique as an industry to have a better understanding of the long-term implications of some of these nutritional strategies.
Larissa, I want to circle back around also to the literature review and what you found specifically as related to how much phosphorus and calcium those sows needed at different points of parity. Walk us through, I know you mentioned earlier some numbers, but how did you get to those numbers? And walk me through again what those numbers each were for the different phases of gestation.
So in gestation, sows need phosphorus for maternal gain, their maintenance requirements, the fetal growth, and a very little bit for placental growth. And so when we think about gestation, roughly around 114 days, for that first 45 days, the phosphorus requirement is relatively low just because there's a little bit of embryo development and growth, but not a lot in those first 45 days. But then after the first period and into later gestation, that's when we see a significant increase in that phosphorus requirement. And that's mainly because of that fetal growth and when it starts. And so there is some research where if we can just feed one steady level throughout gestation, we would be slightly overfeeding it in early gestation, but then underfeeding it in late gestation. And so with the factorial models, that's helped us define what those requirements are throughout gestation. And with new technologies in the swine industry, we might get to the point where we adjust that phosphorus requirement throughout gestation. But all of the research and the empirical and just logistics of it all, what this boiled down to is a phosphorus requirement between 6 and 9 grams per day throughout all of gestation. And so at that level, we would be maybe slightly overfeeding in early gestation, but maybe hitting their requirement right on in late gestation. And so in previous years and in the swine industry, it's been pretty common to have a margin of safety for phosphorus levels. But throughout the highlight of sow livability, maybe we need to back down that margin of safety and not have it quite so big. And what a lot of this research told us in this lit review is that we might actually really be overfeeding phosphorus in gestating and lactating sows right now. So then when we look at the lactation requirements, that is relatively more steady throughout lactation just because it's around 21 to 24 days, which is common in the U.S. swine industry right now. And so that doesn't increase as much, but a large portion of that requirement is for milk production. And we really want to make sure that we're feeding these sows enough phosphorus so that she doesn't have to pull from her bone stores and mobilize all of that phosphorus. And so if we can provide enough of it in the diet so that she doesn't have to pull from her bones, maybe we will be able to reduce some of those lameness problems in sows. And so throughout all of the lit review and the data, it points us to around 19 to 22 grams per day of digestible phosphorus for lactating sows, and that is throughout all of lactation. It's just important that we keep the feed intake levels high in lactation to make sure that the sow is getting all of the nutrients that she needs.
And that illustrates a really important concept, Larissa, that main pool during lactation, while that sow is nursing her litter, the biggest need for phosphorus for her metabolism is for her milk production. And that illustrates some of the differences in approach that if we look back, you mentioned some of the data going back to the early 1970s, sow production and the sow and litter size and milk production were all very, very different at that time point compared to the sows we're working with as an industry today. And even some of the more recent data that's been developed over the past few decades and models that have been developed over the last few decades, modern milk production and litter size is tremendous, tremendous productivity from those sows. So that illustrates some of the importance perhaps of a factorial model where we can use those different pools for different purposes. And then we can say, okay, if we have a litter size of X with the milk production of Y, let's plug that into the model and see what that model would predict her phosphorus requirement would be based on her measures of productivity compared to just doing a grams per day comparison to what study that may have been completed and reported 20 years ago. So the factorial models allowed you to then plug in some different estimates for litter size and milk production to make sure and evaluate how those models would perform using today's sow production numbers.
So Larissa, what would you say are some of the key points that you discovered through your research and through the literature review?
So the key takeaways from my literature review on calcium and phosphorus requirements in gestating sows is that there is a lot more research that needs to be done in this area. There is some data that we can learn from, but it's important to have robust data on modern genetic sows. And so there's a huge need in this area, especially for determining what that calcium requirement should be and focusing on what the correct ratio should be between calcium and phosphorus.
Perfect. And Jordan mentioned this earlier a little bit, Larissa, but how does this research now shape your future focuses and research? And maybe what are some other areas that this literature review led you to believe, hey, this might be good to take some additional time to look into this area more?
Yeah, I think what we've learned through Bo's work and then looking back through some of this literature is, yes, we really want to measure bone mineralization, but there are some other measurements such as phosphorus excretion in urine. And then throughout some of this literature that I dug into is there is some different serum measurements where we can measure bone resorption and bone formation. And so the sow is always going through a bone remodeling process. And the thought is that there's more bone formation occurring during gestation and then more bone resorption happening during lactation because she needs to meet the needs of that milk requirement. And so she's going to pull from her bones. But then in gestation, she's going to start building up those bones. And so there are some different measurements in serum to understand exactly what she's doing in her body. The research is kind of all over the place. It doesn't give us very consistent data. And so more need is done on that as well. But it is another option for some researchers to explore.
Larissa and Jordan provided a great overview on the topic of bone mineralization, but don't worry, more great content like this is coming next month. Thank you all for tuning in. Until next time, I'm your host, Delaney Howell, and this has been the PigX Podcast.
PigX is a national podcast hosted by the Pig Livability Project partners at Iowa State University, Kansas State University, and Purdue, and supported by the Iowa Pork Industry Center. For more information on the project, head to www.piglivability.org or to inquire directly with questions regarding the project, email ipic@iastate.edu. PigX, ideas in the swine industry worth sharing.